For our scripture reading tonight, will you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9. And while you're turning there, it's always not the most pleasant thing in the world to say goodbye. The hymn writer says that friends on earth we meet with gladness, while swift the moments fly. But ever comes this thought of sadness that we must say goodbye. Life is made up of many partings. And sitting here tonight, I was reminded of the fact that in the last year, we have said goodbye to three who had their roots in this assembly. We've said goodbye to Christine Monroe. And the last thing I ever heard her say, I went over and talked with her several times, and had no response whatever. But one day I asked her, "What is your favorite verse?" She didn't say a word. And then I said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And she said, "Yes." That's the last thing she ever said to me. Gene Monroe, the last thing he said to me, I called him on a couple of occasions, and he always said the same thing. Cheerio! That was his farewell expression. And how good it is to know that he had something to be cheerful about. What cheering words are these? There's sweetness who can tell through time and to eternal days, 'tis with believers well, no matter what happens. The day before I left to go out west and then later came back for the funeral of Brother Donald Saunders, I went to see him in the hospital. And the last thing he said to me was this: "Pray for my family." You know, last words are oftentimes significant, and I trust that this message tonight may not be my last word, but I trust that it will be a blessing to you. And we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. "And know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll read in that chapter beginning with verse 9. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Just a few months ago, all over the world, people had gathered at Atlanta, Georgia, and they were competing in the Olympics. And the cry that radiated throughout the world was, go for the gold. And Paul says, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. There were three possibilities. They could get the gold, they could get the silver, and they could get the bronze. Many didn't win anything. He said one received the prize. Only one person could get the gold in any particular thing. One person could get the silver, or one person could get the bronze. But there were many who had labored for years, hour after hour, every day. Some of them had devoted their lives from the time they were 4 or 5 years of age until that time in order to win the prize. There were many thrills. There were some trials. And there were many disasters. Some were hurt and weren't able to continue. And there were many disappointments. You know, it's a wonderful thing to win. We all like to win. No one likes to lose. A wonderful thing to win. I remember years ago I was listening to the radio, and there was a fellow on the radio, and they were interviewing him. And at a previous Olympic, he had won the prize. He was from the little country of Luxembourg. And he said something like this. I can hear him now in his broken English. I am so proud. I am so proud for my little country. I won the prize. The gold. And he says, I can go back to my little country. And I've won the gold. And you could almost feel the thrill that he felt because he had won the gold. But you know, the wonderful thing is that there are three possible prizes for believers that are good. Three worthwhile prizes. And the beautiful thing is, it's a possibility for every Christian or any Christian to win all three. That makes Atlanta look like a bunch of pikers. Gold, silver, and precious stones. You know, if you're going to compete in the Olympics at Atlanta, I'll tell you what you need. You need a good pair of legs. If you don't have legs, you can forget it. And if you're over 30, you can forget it. These young bucks, they'll make you look like a sap. You've got to have your youth in order to compete there. But it doesn't make a particle of difference how old you are. You can still be a winner in God's Olympics. The very thing that men take pleasure in, their legs. Oh, I could be a Michael Jordan, or I could be anybody if I've got good legs. But the scripture says, God takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. He's not the slightest bit interested in how good your legs are. There have been people that have been in wheelchairs, and they won the prize in God's Olympics. Says God takes pleasure in his people. How wonderful that is. Gold, silver, precious stones. And the wonderful thing is that the prize that God gives, they endure forever. They for a corruptible crown and something that isn't going to last. Oh, Paul says, we for a incorruptible crown. Now there are three prizes that are worthwhile. There's the gold, there's the silver, there's the precious stones, and there's worthless prizes. There's wood, hay, and stubble. They're not going to stand the test of the fire. They're all going to be burned up. God is not interested in the quantity of our work. He is interested in the quality of our work. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, not of what size. And you know, a lot of people got a lot of big work, and you say, oh man, that's a big work. God's not interested in the size of the work. He's interested in what sort it is. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, there's only one foundation on which a life is to be built. There's only one foundation on which a church is to be built. The Lord Jesus said, when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he says, upon this rock I will build my church. Paul says, I agree with that. Other foundations can no man lay. We just read that. Then that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And you remember the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, he spoke about the wise man. He says, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the winds came and the floods and all the rest of it, and it stood because it was built on a rock. And the foolish man, he built his house on the sand, and the winds came and the floods came, and it fell because it was built on the sand. Remember what he said? The wise man is he that heareth and doeth these sayings of mine. The foolish man is the one that hears and does them not. There's only one foundation, fellow believers, only one foundation assembly. There's one only foundation that we can build on. It's the only one that's going to stand the test. On Christ, salvation rests secure. The rock of ages must endure, nor can that faith be overthrown which rests upon the living stone. In him it is ordained to raise a temple to Jehovah's praise, composed of all those saints who own no Savior but the living stone. No other hope shall intervene. To him we look, on him we lean. Other foundations we disown and build on Christ, the living stone. Remember years ago I saw a cartoon. I clipped it out of the paper. It showed the Leaning Tower of Pisa, only it wasn't leaning. It was straight up. And underneath of it, in front of it, you had two fellows, and they were looking at this structure, this Leaning Tower of Pisa, straight up like this. And one of them says, I cheated a little bit on the foundation, but nobody will ever know the difference. Don't you believe it? It's going to show up someday. If you build on anything except the Savior, you're building on a foundation that is not going to stand the test. You notice what Peter said, Paul said rather. He says, I as a wise master builder, he says, I've laid the foundation. We know what that foundation is because it says the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Paul was one of the apostles. I as a wise master builder have laid the foundation, and others have built thereupon. Paul twice over says this concerning his ministry. He says, according to the wisdom given to me for edification and not for destruction. He says, God did not give me wisdom to tear things down. He gave me wisdom to build things up according to the wisdom given to me for edification. You know, it's possible for us, fellow believers, to be either in the construction gang or the wrecking crew. 2 summers ago, I was at the Greenwood Hills Bible Conference, and after one of the meetings, I spoke for about 35 minutes to a brother named Jack Lawazo. That name doesn't mean anything to you, but Jack Lawazo has a twin sister. Her name is Eleanor Johnson, and she serves the Lord over in Burundi, which isn't the safest place to be in the world just now. And he was telling me how he had visited her over there and the problems that they have on the field. Well, Jack Lawazo, he was the fellow that got this business started, and he's become world famous for blowing up buildings or blowing down buildings. He's the fellow that whose company took that federal building down the rest of the way when these fellows had taken about 6,000 pounds of explosives to try and blow it up. He took it the rest of the way down with less than 100 pounds of explosives, knowing just where to do it, you know. But you know, his sister is over there in Burundi with her husband. She's 81 years of age, and obviously he's 81 too, because they're twins. And she's in the business of trying to reach souls for the Lord, trying to get souls saved, and trying to build up saints. And Jack Lawaz is in the business of tearing down buildings. Now, I don't know how this is all going to measure out at the judgment seat of Christ, but I think I'd rather be in Eleanor Johnson's shoes in Jack LaRosa's shoes, although nobody knows about her, a relative. He's world famous. The building business or tearing down things? Gold, silver, precious stones. Several years ago, up in Charlotte, North Carolina, a brother named Bill Williams said, how would you like to go down and see Heritage Village? You know, that's where Jack and Tammy, I mean, Baker?
Jim
Baker. Couldn't think of his first name. Jim Baker and his wife, Tammy, that's where they hung out in those days. And it reminded me, when I went there with this brother, it reminded me a little bit of Disney World. But they had a kind of a reception center about the size of this building here. And on the wall, they had little plaques about so wide and about so high, and then the names of different people, hundreds and hundreds of names. And they had pictures of some of the believers. They had a picture of D.L. Moody, C.H. Spurgeon, and Amy Semple McPherson, and all these different people standing on the wall. Above, but underneath were these little flats. And over in a certain area, they had three tripods mounted, and one of them said, for $10,000 one-time gift, you could become a part of the gold membership. Would you like to be a part of the gold membership? $10,000, and you're in. And they'll put your name in a little plaque, you know, on the wall. There it is. Elliot and Ron. Sounds great. And then they had another deal for $2,000, one-time gift. And you had certain things that you get advantage to as a result of that. And that was a silver membership. And then they had a $1,000 gift. That was the low man on the totem pole. And then for that, you get to be a member of the diamond membership. Get the picture? Gold. Silver, precious stones. It's right in accordance with what the scripture says here. Or is it? I don't think Paul had the slightest idea of money when he wrote that. You know, in the Bible, gold is a symbol of the glory of God. And we're told, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You can win the gold. Whatever you're doing. You can be driving a truck. You could be teaching a school lesson. If you're doing whatever you do to glorify God, you can get the gold. And that would suggest you don't want to be in anything that isn't going to be glorifying to God. It'll separate you from a lot of things that you might otherwise get into. Can I do this service and glorify God in it? If I can't, let me get out of it. It's a good test. And the silver in the Bible is a picture of redemption. So whatever you do, in order to reach souls for God, to see souls saved, you're entitled to the silver. And the precious stone, he didn't have any reference of diamonds, that kind of cheap junk, you know, you wear on the finger, no, no, that. You know, it says, the temple was built of great and costly stones. And Peter says, ye also as living stones are being filled up a spiritual house, acceptable to God. So whatever you do, for the blessing of God's people, you're entitled to the precious stones. Isn't that wonderful? It's all available. Gold, silver, precious stones. Gold, that's what's done for the Savior. Silver, that's what's done for the sinner. Precious stones, that's what's done for the saint. And we can qualify for all of these by the grace of God. What were to go for the gold? Paul says, I'm going for the gold. Really, Paul? Paul says, let me tell you something. I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I want to win Him. That's what I want. Nothing but Christ. As long as we tread. The gift on Christ. God's living bread. Showing to all when once he trod, nothing but Christ, the Christ of God, everything lost for him below. Nothing save him in all our ways, giving the theme for ceaseless praise. The wise men said, we're going for the gold. It says, we're going up. They left on a long, long journey, and they came to Israel. Worthy of his born king. We've come to worship him. They didn't come on up. And it's a bunch of tourists to see Israel. They weren't the slightest bit interested in Israel. We've come to see him. That's all Mary of Bethany was interested in. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She wanted to hear what he had to say. She fell at his feet when her brother Lazarus had died. She wanted to see what he would do. And she took that alabaster box of ointment, very precious, but she didn't keep anything for herself. And she didn't give anything for her sister, and she didn't keep anything for her brother. She didn't put it on his body after he died. It was all for him. The Lord Jesus said so against the day of my burial. She has kept this, and wheresoever this gospel is preached, this also that this woman has done shall be told for a memorial of her. She had nothing before her soul except the Lord. Go for the gold. The scripture says to seek your own glory is not glory. Somehow, you know, we pray sometimes, Lord, we'll give thee all the glory, but sometimes we want to keep a little bit of it for ourselves. We sing to God, be the glory, great things he has done. But that the Lord Jesus might be glorified in all things. That should be the motivation of our hearts. And that's really going for the goal. Remember the Old Testament, the Song of Solomon. The lover, the lady, the woman, the bride, she says, she's asked the question, what is thy beloved more than another one? Oh, she says, he's altogether lovely. He's the cheapest of 10,000. There's no one as beautiful as he. Why, she says, let me tell you something. He's got a golden head. In wisdom, gold. His hands, they're gold. And he says his feet are set on sockets, his legs on sockets of fine gold. From head to foot, he's all gold. She could see nothing but the glory of God. Go for the gold. We sing sometimes in our hymns, oh, fix our earnest gaze, so holy Lord, on thee, that with thy beauty occupied we elsewhere none may see. And then go for the silver. Remember the Lord Jesus told his disciples they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Paul says, I'm going for the silver. He said the desire of his heart was that I might by all means save some. That sounds like something. You mean that believers can save people? Well, doesn't it say that? How do you know, husband, that you may save that wife that's not a believer? And how do you know, wife, you may save your husband? Well, we know, of course, that we can't save anybody, but yet the Lord can use us as instruments in saving souls. He can use it as his means of reaching men and women. He's not here visibly, but we're here. We're his hands. We're his feet. Go ye into all the world, he says, and preach the gospel to every creature. We read in 1 John that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And the Lord Jesus said, as the Father sent me into the world, even so have I sent you into the world. We're meant to be saviors of the world. God uses us. We can't save anybody. We know there's no salvation except in the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet he uses us as instruments of salvation. I was telling somebody a little story, you know, in a little pamphlet, a little folder I found last summer. And it was had about 200 pages in it. And I read it. I said, this sounds pretty good. It's going to be printed in a book. But there was one story in it that fascinated me particularly. Some fellows up north decided they were going to send my dad a check for $50, which they did. But they had eight different men write that check. You know, one would write August, and one would write Van, another would write Ryan, one wrote 50, and one would write dollars, and one would write no sense or whatever. Didn't seem to make so much sense anyway. But when my dad got this check, he said, "Boy, this is something." And he takes it to my mother and says, "Persis, what do you think about this?" And she says, "Well, is that check any good?" My dad says, "Well, sure it's good. Since the bank is not the least bit interested in how many people have written on the check, the only thing they're interested in is the man that signed the check. And if he's got money, it's good. And you know, we can be instruments in the salvation of people. Perhaps you're a Sunday school teacher. A parent in the home. And your name is on the check. But the only name that God is interested in is my son's name signed on the check. And if it is, God honors it in heaven. And we can have a part in the salvation of our friends and our fellows. How wonderful indeed. Paul went in for the silver. You know, he said, writing to the Thessalonian believers, he says, "Ye are my crown of rejoicing in that day." So when I get to heaven and hear this, that, "Lord, these are some that I caught for you. I went fishing and I caught these." Says, "You're going to be my crown of rejoicing in that day." The hymn writer says, "Must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's foe? Not one soul rich to greet him. Must I empty-handed go?" And then we're to go for the stones, the precious stones. And how precious each believer is, the Lord Jesus. Everyone has the same price tag on him, bought and paid for by the precious blood of Christ. We were hearing this evening earlier about elders and deacons, and Peter, when he writes to the elders, he says, "I'm an elder too," in 1 Peter chapter 5. And he says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, not because of money you're going to get it, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lord over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." You know, every one of us can be involved in our care and concern for fellow believers. Lord Jesus left this message with his disciples. And he's left it with us. "I have given you an example," he said, "that you should do as I have done to you." He says, "A new commandment given unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." He said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another." May God help us, fellow believers, to be marked out as those that have a love and a concern for our fellow believers, to do what we can, while we can, to build one another up in our most holy faith. And it's in the measure that we do this that we will be stronger, and this assembly of God's people will be stronger and a more faithful witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? Gold, silver, precious stones, and it's all possible for us. We can win them all, and it doesn't make any difference how old you are. It doesn't make any difference if you're in a wheelchair, how decrepit you are. If you're going to compete in Atlanta, you better be under 30, and you better be in good shape and practicing a long time. But you know, no matter how old we are, in fact, the older we get, we become even more useful. And we were, and we're young. May God help us. Shall we pray? Father, we're thankful for this word of thine that reminds us of the fact that we have a foundation that stands for all eternity, even our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are instructed through thy word to build on the rock that ever stands, to build on the rock and not upon the sands. We pray that we may be wise men that not only hear what thou dost have to say. May we be obedient to thy word and to seek to do what we can, while we can, for thy word says the night cometh, but no man should work. So we pray thy blessing on thy people here. We're thankful for the privilege of being here these days. Pray as we come towards the end of another year, that we may with renewed determination seek to follow on to know thee better and to show thee better. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we sing it?